Hey everyone, welcome to the episode 12 of the Shared Experience Podcast. Today's guest is Rob Raceman. A little bit about Rob. I wanted to talk about his initiation into PICAP being over 35 years ago, which set him on a path that he could have never imagined. He feels very lucky to have joined the only fraternity that could provide him with the types of opportunities PICAPify has. And it all stemmed from Zeta Zeta at the University of North Florida. Rob, thanks for coming and joining us on the podcast.
No, thank you for having me.
I wanted to kind of get a better understanding of what first got you into your first ability experience.
Okay, well, one of my chapter brothers, Steve Borowick, called me one day, and he was regional governor here in Florida, and they were recruiting district counselors at the time. So it was back when we only had 13 regional governors, so he had the entire state of Florida. So there was a tier of district counselors underneath who would handle a few chapters. And so I volunteered to do that, and then I ended up at my first Supreme Chapter in 2002, which happened to be a year when the JOH arrival happened at the same time. So it was in Washington, D.C. So ended up going to the JOH arrival, and I'd not really been involved with my chapter very much since I had graduated, and So I had a couple of chapter brothers that I had never met, who were riding that summer, who finished, and I got to meet them at the arrival. But Mike Carter, who was chapter archon at the time, was there with me, and I told him, I said I had two chapter brothers who were on the 1988 team with Jim Karlovec. And so I remember when they just started doing this crazy stuff. They were riding their bikes all the time and shaving their legs and doing all kinds of weird stuff. And then they disappeared for the summer. And so I remember that happening, but I at the time it was the first year, nobody really knew what it was or what was going on. They just kind of went off and did it, didn't make a huge deal of it. And so here I am, years later, 14 years later or something. I was like, man, I was an electrical engineering major, and I didn't have any money when I was in school. It would have been really difficult for me to do the trip. But I regret not being able to do that. It would have been really cool to have been able to do this trip. And so Mike said, alumni can do gear at Florida. And I said, really? So I got so excited. I literally went home, started shopping for a bike. Within a week, I bought my first bicycle. And I started riding, and I applied for Gear Up Florida, and I remember Rob Kelly interviewing me, and I was like, oh, I thought, I'm an alum, I'm a district counselor and all that, I'll be a shoo-in. And of course, anybody that knows Rob knows that I talked to him, and I got off the phone going, man, I don't know if I'm going to get in. I better tighten up, So anyway, that got me started on my first trip, and I showed up, and I was, 33? Yeah, 33 at the time.
That was 2003, right?
That was 2003. So I was I'm gonna be the old guy, and I don't want to show up and have to ride in a van because I can't keep up with all these young guys. So, I trained my butt off, and this was back before Strava and all that. So you didn't really have any idea what everybody else was doing, but I was out riding centuries by myself and doing all kinds of stuff like that. So I showed up with thousands of miles of training. And found out that, there were guys that, I don't know, had done four bike rides when they showed up. So I had a great time, and, obviously had a great time because I kept coming back, right? I did Guff again the next year, and then Journey of Hope the year after that.
Yeah, so as far as all the experience that I have that I know, so 2003 was your first. So that means the year before was your first time picking up the bike?
2002, yeah. I never really. I mean, I had a bike when I was, a 10-speed when I was a kid. But never been serious about cycling or really even been particularly athletic when I was growing up. I know that later on you asked me in my little background thing, is there something that would surprise you about me? I was a geeky little, I was an electrical engineering major, right? So, I was a geeky kid in high school and not very athletic at all. And it wasn't until I got older and, didn't want to be old and out of shape that I started, really, concentrating on doing athletic things, right? Like I started running, and you know, I'm really bad at running. It's really hard for me, but you know, cycling was something that I found. I feel, you know, very fortunate that I found it, because it's something that I really enjoy. You know, like a day, or I don't know, a week that goes by without cycling is just miserable for me, right? I just love it. It's, you know, so.
Yeah, now it's been over 20 years of biking. So yeah, you've kept with it since the beginning.
Yep.
And you did.
Yeah, I figure I got to be getting somewhere around 100,000 miles by now.
Okay.
So
nice. Yeah. Yeah, you didn't let up. You did Journey of Hope Trans America 2 times, right? So you did it in 2005, and then you came back in 2019 with a guff ride in between.
Yeah, so in 2005, you know, I guess, you know, following along on that that theme of, you know, alumni being allowed to do stuff, you know, that alumni, Journey of Hope wasn't open to alumni. But Trans Am was, but it was only, I think they used to do it every 4 or 5 years, right? So 2005 was the first year they made it an annual ride. So I was like, well, hell, I gotta go do this, right? So, you know, I took 10 weeks off and cycled cross country when I was 36 years old for the first time. So
you talked about in 2003, you trained extra hard because you didn't want to be the old guy showing up out of shape. I'm not good at math, but 2019 and then 2021 was your last event when you did Guff. What do you have any goals to come back? I mean, have you done your last event?
Are
you?
Actually, I need to sign up, but I'm planning on doing Guff next year. I talked Joe Brady into doing it. He's our national vice archon, so he'll be our incoming archon next year. So I talked Joe into doing it, and I said, well, if you'll do it, I'll do it with you. And you know, this year I coached, so I rode the first 4 days. I actually rode half of Guff this year, cause I rode the first 4 days into Sarasota, and then I always ride the last 2 days from Jacksonville into Tallahassee. So Alan Doosterhouse did it last year, or did it this year. And so, you know, Alan at the end of the ride was talking that, you know, he would, you know, being on the national council, you start looking at these rides and they, you know, if you haven't done them before, they just look like expensive, high risk events. Right. And you start to say, why, you know, why do we do this? So it was pretty amazing to see him do it. And at the end going, yeah, this is a no brainer, you know, like after he's seen, after he's seen it, he's seen the organizations that we partner with. He's seen the friendship visits. He's seen what the guys get out of it. He's seen what the, you know, with the volunteers and the, you know, the people of the different organizations get out of it. He's like, this is a no brainer. So I think, you know, it's really important. And I've done a training ride with Joe. You know, I think it's really important that they get that experience. Right. So I'm really excited for Joe. He's, you know, he gets to do it for the first time. I got to ride with him. He's, you know, I told him, I said, you could leave tomorrow and go do the trip. So he's got some, you know, he's got months of training, and we're going to try and get some long rides in and all that. But really excited to bring him into it and, you know, continue that tradition of alumni participating in these rides. It's really, you know, in the beginning when I started doing it, there had been a few alumni that had done it, but not a whole lot. And now it's really routine, you know, and it's really amazing to see guys come back, you know, guys who've done rides in the past that come back, or guys that get to do it for the first time. It's really, you know, it makes that ride special. And the thing that surprises me the most about it is you would think if, you know, you're a young guy and you get all these old dudes showing up to go ride, you know, across Florida with you, you'd be like, oh man, you know, I got to hang out with these old guys. But you know, the chemistry has just always been incredible. You know, I think they get a lot out of it. I know we get a lot out of it. But I think it's just good that, you know, those guys all go back to their chapters and they think about the fraternity differently after that.
Yeah, no, I've coached a couple times with Guff. I mean, a couple other routes as well. Some of the older riders just give a whole different perspective on the trip and, you know, add more value to why every moment on the trip is so much more valuable, and to be more present and really, really take in those sights and really kind of not focus on the biking, because there are parts where there are hard days on the bike, but it's all rewarded back when you do the friendship visits, when you build these bonds with your, you know, your other fraternity members. Yeah, and it's like at the end of the day, some phenomenal older people, they bring so much wisdom to these young kids, you know, that are just kind of figuring it out and just going with the roll of the wheels.
Yep. Yeah, these rides, I mean, there's so many facets to it, but it's amazing, you know, how many brothers I've seen that show up that, you know, have something in their life they're trying to work out or some sort of issue they're dealing with. And, it, you know, it's like a huge therapy session, right? Like, you know, people work things out, you know, on these trips. They learn a lot about themselves. They learn a lot about other people. But, you know, it's like an aspect of this that I don't know, that you just really don't expect, right? And until you've seen it a few times, you don't realize how magical it is. You know, the amount of growth that people do in these trips is just amazing.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. That's a great way to put it as well. You're talking about the alumni perspective that alumni bring on our trips. I think it's an element that us at the Ability Experience, like even when I was on staff, we can't create that. I mean, that's got to be a good mingle of undergraduates and alumni. It's the brotherhood aspect, gives you a different perspective on fraternity. And then even with, you know, our trips, certainly Journey of Hope just being a longer version, but I know Gear Up Florida 2 weeks. I mean, you don't even know what's going on in the news. Like, you completely disengage from the world, it feels like. And you talk about like intense. And it's awesome. Like, yeah, if you're trying to, I don't know, get away from something or overcome something in your personal life, I mean, it is a complete reset. So more so than our mission and things that we do on the trip and the impact we're able to make it through that, it's a great personal journey as well.
Yeah, and it's something you couldn't design into the experience. I mean, it's just something that's grown over the years, you know, something we discovered. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't anything that anybody planned on doing.
Yeah, and you've seen a lot of change just in Gear Up Florida alone, from your first one, 2003, and then, you know, when I met you in 2021, there's already been a big change and big, you know, more planning, more intense. And I like to always have the discussion where people like short credit Gear Up Florida, and you know, it's only 2 weeks, but it's a very intense 2 weeks concourse.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I remember, you know, and things have changed over the years. So I kind of learned from Basil talking about this, you know, and why it was the way it was in 2003 and 2004. Cause I remember it being super intense and, you know, you really didn't get a lot of sleep, you know, back then. I think we had to get 5 hours of sleep was the minimum. Right. And you were usually doing good to get that 5 hours in. You know, Basil said what happened was over the years, you know, like you'd have a really good relationship with an organization and then 1 year they wouldn't be able to do it because, you know, scheduling just wouldn't work out. So you go find another organization. Then you'd have great events with them. Well, you'd have those two organizations now that you've had great events with, that you have great relationships with. And so in the old days, they'd go, okay, well, we'll do you from like 3 to 5 and then we'll do the other one from 6 to 8 or whatever, you know. And so you just, I mean, you were just bombarded and it was awesome. And that you got like, I mean, you got so much engagement and, you know, I mean, the friendship visits were just incredible. But it was at the expense, I called it guff-induced narcolepsy. Like you'd get in the van to go somewhere and you just instantly pass out. And like to the point you were drooling on yourself and you'd wake up and you wouldn't know where you were. And, you know, So over the years, they just kind of learned that when that happens, now they'll go, okay, well, we'll have an event with you this year, and then next year, we're, you know, we'll do it every other year or something like that. So they've scaled it back a little bit, but, you know, Guff is still the intense one, right? It's still the go, 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 go the whole time. And so, you know, even though it's a shorter ride, it's still pretty incredible that you know, the guys still, you know, the bonding experience of the team is still pretty intense, and the, you know, just the emotional experience and who you see and who you meet. You know, I mean, it's, I can't say it's comparable, but, you know, it's a lot more, you're getting a lot more out of that 2 weeks than what you would think, you know, given that the other rides are so long.
Yeah, I agree. And we are thrilled to have you back returning, even as you're signing up for next year's Guff, but also as one of the coaches that is able to be present and, you know, kind of give back and kind of also rebuild this experience that we're doing as coaches and just ensure safety. And it's just really rewarding to see you come back so many times.
Oh man, I guess it's you know, it's that cliche, right? That you always get out more than you put into it. And then you want to put more in and you just get more out of it again. So, you know, when Campo called me and asked me if I was interested in coaching, you know, I was like, yeah, I can do that. You know, I can take 4 days off and go down to Miami and do a few days of the trip. And, you know, I just enjoyed it so much. And, you know, I mean, I really did, like, I hated to leave the team. It was like my team, right? You know, it's like being on another team. But yeah, I mean, it's just so great to be able, you know, I've become a decent bike mechanic over the years. Like, you know, I so there's one guy riding and I'm like, oh man, he was hurting, right? And I go up to him and I'm like, you know, you need to raise your seat. Like, let's pull over, you know, next crew stop, we're gonna raise your seat. So he raises his seat a little bit and he's like, oh man, this is so good. And I'm like, I think you need to raise it a little bit more. And so he raised it a little bit more. And I mean, he went from just suffering, he was miserable and he was slow and he was holding everybody up, to he's just like going along. He's like, Rob, you're a genius, you know? And it was just great that, you know, if I hadn't been there, God only knows, he would probably ridden 800 or, you know, 1,000 miles with a seat that was like got it 4 or 5 inches too low, you know? And he'd have had knee problems and all kinds of stuff. So, you know, it was really worthwhile to be there and, you know, just kind of, I hope, impart some of the philosophy, you know, some of the things I've learned over the years that, you know, help teams get along better and, you know, help the crew and the cyclists cooperate and appreciate each other and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I hope I imparted some of that this year, and I think I did, and, you know, really just enjoyed it, you know.
No, I think when I came to Tampa, they spoke very highly of you. So, and you're one of the most humblest individuals I've been, you know, around, and you're a phenomenal, you know, athlete and person to continue to have in this experience. So yeah, we're thrilled to continue to have you for some of these, and it's even more exciting to see you next year too. If you're going to be doing Guff, I'll see you back again in Tampa.
Yeah, I can't wait. I mean, you know, it's. So it'll be my fifth time doing Guff, and you know, you would think that it would get old or you'd get tired of it, but you know, every team is different. You know, every year you meet some new people, and then you see old people that you've seen, you know, in years past, and you know, that's pretty crazy now because it's been 20 years. So, you know, over the course of the 20 years, you know, I mean, there's you know, people that I've that recognize me when I come, you know, when I come, or you know, I at least look familiar and they look familiar, you know, and then we sit and talk and figure out, oh yeah, we remember this year. You know, and I mean, I guess talking about the long time span, you know, one of the things that I experienced in 2019 was that, you know, there were two places where the host had hosted the Journey of Hope, the Trans Am team, every year since I rode. And in 2019, there were two women who weren't able to host us. And in both cases, they were both suffering from dementia and weren't able to do it anymore. But they had done it from 2005 to 2018, every year had hosted the team. I guess I've got the reputation for doing this, and this is my curse for making fun of Chad Coltrane for getting
emotional.
For getting emotional when he talks about stuff. But
you mean being real and honest and a human. Because Chad, yeah. When Chad starts watering up, I think he gets the whole room to start doing the same within seconds.
Yeah, but it, you know, it's pretty amazing that, you know, for people that are working so hard to host, you know, you host a cycling team and you got a bunch of hungry dudes that show up that have been, you know, cycled an average of 85 miles that day. And you're sitting there feeding them. I mean, it's a lot of work. You know, I've hosted Guff or helped host Guff in the past. And, you know, I mean, it's a lot of effort. So, you know, for somebody to do that for 13 years is pretty incredible.
Yeah, and all the friendship visits that we get to revisit and kind of go back to and see. And
oh, yeah. Yeah, like McDonald Training Center in Tampa, right? Yeah. I mean, you go, they've got pictures from years back, you know. They got guys in cargo shorts down to their knees, right? Yeah. from my early Guffs, you know. But, I mean, it's like Guff through the ages, right? And they've been doing it forever as well. So, I mean, you just, there's just some of these incredible organizations that, you know, for whatever reason, we've struck a chord with them. You know, and it's amazing when you see, you know, you talk to some of the people, and they say, yeah, you know, like everybody starts like after Christmas, they ask, when are the cyclists coming? You know, it's like, yeah. that's a big thing. And they really look forward to it. So, you know, just to be part of that as well, you know, and that's one of the things that you learn about this is that, you know, there's a lot of organizations out there that, you know, serve people and that nobody really pays attention to them. You know, so, I mean, when you go and you make a big deal and, you know, you bring some joy to their life and, you know, it gets them out of their routine and gives them something different, right? You know, and I mean, you see so many times, like, we'll be leaving and, you know, people will be crying because they don't want it to be over, and not just us, right? Yeah. You know, but it is pretty amazing to see all that.
Yeah, we've really laid down a long legacy of just doing these kind of things, and I think in the beginning, a lot of people just see this as a bike ride, and they don't understand all the implications and all the power that this trip and these, you know, the ability experience, you know, events have for all men. And yeah, I get to see it firsthand every time I coach. Everyone's so much more wide, you know, alert when they go to their first friendship visit and when they see that the t-shirts from past years up there with past teammates.
Oh yeah.
And they realize it's just, you know, they're adding to a whole another year of experiences and warmth to these centers that, like, we are genuinely excited to go to, and like, we're happy and they're so thrilled that they make posters and banners. And I always feel so bad in Florida when we have them waiting outside when we do our, you know, our staging, but they love it. Like, I've never, it really puts into perspective, like, what matters in life. Cause, like, I can have some really bad, you know, experiences, like what we would go through as stress. And then any stress you have, as soon as you're at a center and you see these kids that are like ready to be there with you, don't even know who you are, but know so much about you, like, all your world troubles just go away. And then all the miles you've biked in the Florida summer, which could have also been rained, and whatever mileage you hit, it all becomes such a blimp on all of it. And you're just in the moment and you're just wide smiled and dancing.
Well, and it's just, it's amazing too that, you know, like on Journey of Hope, you'll, you know, like, especially on Trans Am, I mean, you have these weeks where you're doing, you know, 135 mile rides and you're doing like back-to-back centuries and, you know, like you'll have a friendship visit and you will just be just physically exhausted. And you get to the friendship visit, you know, and it's like that Pi Alpha ethos, right? Like, you turn it on. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're exhausted. It doesn't matter if you're tired. It doesn't matter if you had a bad day. You know, you turn it on when you're there. And, you know, I'm always so proud of the guys when you see that, you know, that it's like, you know, everybody's just exhausted. Everybody slept in the van on the way there. You know, everybody passed out. And then they get there, and as soon as they go in, they just turn it on and start dancing and having a good time and bringing it, you know. But yeah, you learn so much too, like, you know, and that's another thing. I mean, God, some of the people that I've met over the years, and, you know, like, one of the things doing this 20 years is that you realize, like, I've had several people that I've, you know, developed a, you know, a decent relationship with over the years that I've met. But, you know, people that have cerebral palsy that are wheelchair bound their entire life, you know, they don't live a long lifespan, right? Or, you know, recently another guy, anyway, this kid, you know, Chad, Foster, you know, had born with spina bifida, lived with, you know, foster parents who took in, you know, a lot of children with issues that other people didn't want. And, you know, I think had a good life. You know, they certainly you know, super inspiring, but, you know, one of the things that you learn is you sit there, like you said, like you'll have these problems and these things that you think are a big deal. And then you meet somebody that's been in a wheelchair their entire life, you know, and, you know, maybe was never able to brush their teeth or go to the bathroom by themselves, right? Always needed help, always needed something from somebody. And they'll still, you know, just have like this outlook on life or this, you know, I don't know, there's like a sense of satisfaction. It's, you know, it's something that you just can't imagine. You know, you're like, if I was like that, like, you know, like here I am, I'm upset or I'm miserable about something in my otherwise, you know, completely perfect life, right? And so you see people that, you know, deal with these disabilities with such a grace that, you know, like it's still something I don't completely understand, but, you know, you get there, you know, when you have problems in your life, it certainly puts things into perspective.
Yeah, and I think in all that, I think one of the drivers for kind of getting these experiences from people is not only to capture these moments of honesty and just like, you know, recapping kind of an experience for the summer events, but also to hopefully inspire the next round of people and really show them that it's not just the bike ride and really hear firsthand some of our stories that we can tell for the many years that we've been doing this. Gary's got, you know, a deeper perspective than I could ever have with being on staff and his knowledge for everything. And I mean, Rob, you too, you've probably done, I've technically only done two real Pi Alpha experiences, but I've coached a lot more from that. So, I mean, these stories help kind of get people interested in wanting to sign up and join. I know it's kind of helped a couple of people make that decision quick.
Yeah, I think all these things are so they're so powerful, and I think what in the last 20 minutes, I think you've kind of explained the sometimes unexplainable. Like it's very hard to try to sell a student on doing GUF or JOH, and you tell them what we know to tell them, but I think what we've captured in the last maybe just three stories that you've shared with us is all the things that are so hard to put into words, really.
Yeah, and I think I can help, you know, I especially these days, you know, doing internships at school has become so important. And I know it's one of the things that, you know, we compete against, right? Because everybody wants to do their internship. And certainly, I mean, being an engineer, like, you know, internships are important for engineers, right? But, you know, one of the things that I'll say is that, you know, you're going to go after school and you're going to be doing these interviews and you're going to be talking to people, and everybody else also did an internship, and they did an internship very similar to the one you did. Like if you're you know, I don't know if you're an engineer, maybe you went and worked for GE over the summer, or you went to work for Hewlett Packard or something. Like everybody did that kind of thing, right? Who rode their bike cross country, you know? They're going to remember you. They're going to remember that story. You're going to have stories like I just told. You know, you're going to talk about, you know, how it enriched your life, you know, the joy that you brought to people, what you learned about yourself. Also, the leadership skills, you know, like being on a good team is like, it's like getting an executive MBA in leadership, right? You know, being on a team for 2 weeks or 8 weeks or 10 weeks with the same guys, and like you do everything together, right? And you know, like you love each other and you also get on each other's nerves, you know. You know, there's five, six weeks into the ride, sometimes you're over it, you know. Everybody goes through those cycles. And, you know, but learning to work it together as a team and having like the crew and the cyclists and the PMs and everybody working together and all of that is, you know, it's the best experience. It is so much more intense than any internship you're going to do. You know, and do the internships too, but you know, 2 weeks off for GUF, you know, I was, what, 36 and 50, the two times I did Journey of Hope. So I took 10 weeks off. If you decide you're going to do something like that, and you're going to do whatever it takes to do it, you can do it. You know, I mean, it's easy to make excuses, but it's not that hard to just go ahead and do it. You know, but yeah, the recruiting for this, I know it is one of those things that guys don't necessarily see. They don't really see what they're going to get out of it, or they don't really see how it's going to relate to their career. But you know, again, like as an engineer, you would think that, you know, being in a fraternity and doing all this stuff is, you know, wouldn't be conducive to your career, you know, because it's more technically oriented and all that. But, you know, engineers aren't known for their people skills widely. I mean, there's plenty of engineers that have good people skills, but I learned so much being in the fraternity, being on EC, being an archon of my chapter, being, you know, recruiting, you know, during rush week, going and talking to people. And it's amazing, you know, and I've had so many of these conversations with the older guys, right? Of, you know, how all of your life is just like your chapter, right? You know, your chapter meetings where you've got the guys that aren't helping, that are complaining and all that stuff. I mean, that's like your whole life is like that. And you learn so much being in the fraternity. And then, you know, these events are just, they're like the fraternity on steroids as far as, you know, what you're going to learn about yourself and what you're going to learn about other people, you know, team dynamics, cooperating with people. Like, I mean, you just learn so much. So, you know, anybody that's thinking about doing one of these, or if you're on the fence or you think it's going to hurt your career, it doesn't matter what your career is in, you know, getting this kind of experience and learning what you're going to learn about yourself and other people is going to help in any career. It doesn't matter what it doesn't matter if you're, you know, nuclear physics or medicine, or, you know, or if you're a psychology major or communications major. I mean, you're just going to learn so much doing these.
Yeah. And I know that your chapter is coming back, so I know you're going to be heavily pushing the ability experience and getting them the information they need, and hopefully getting some new recruits.
Well, and that gives me the opportunity to talk about the Gate River Run, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, Mike Carter, one of my chapter brothers, started doing the River Run as a fundraiser years ago. And then in 2019, when I was on Journey of Hope, we were talking about the Marine Corps Marathon. And I said, well, you know, we've got this Gate River Run in Jacksonville. You know, it's a huge 15K. Everybody in the city comes out. You know, it's a huge deal, and you know, that it would be great if we just made that into an ABEX challenge. And you know, my chapter is coming back soon. You know, we can set this up, and then we'll have something. You know, we'll have a good relationship with a philanthropy, you know, with an organization, and you know, it's something that we can use to recruit. And so I guess we started in 2020, so we've done it 3 years now. So my chapter's finally coming back next year. So, you know, next year we'll run it. We'll run the fourth time, and then hopefully that'll be the last time we'll do it without undergrads from our chapter. But, you know, it's grown into the largest ABEX challenge that we do now. And, you know, I've got like Mike Carter and Bill Powers have been instrumental in it. You know, and I've just got a lot of chapter brothers that really, you know, like we really come together.
When does the run normally happen? Chapter.
So it's the first week in March.
Okay.
And I think it's one of the largest 15Ks in the country. I mean, it's a huge run, and it's beautiful. It goes along the river. But Bill Powers is on the board of directors for Challenge Enterprises, the organization that we partner with. And then we're also partnering with Brooks Rehab. And so Campo brings down the racing wheelchairs, right? And, you know, some of the folks from Challenge that have done it in the past had so much fun that they actually started training. So the ones that are physically capable are running the 5K these days. So, you know, one of the problems we have now is finding enough riders. But we're shooting for 100. We're shooting for 100 runners next year. We've had two of my teammates from 2021 Guff go to UCF, And so they invited me to their chapter. And so it's become kind of a tradition for the UCF guys to do it. So they come into Jacksonville and they run it. This year I'm hoping to get, you know, guys from Stetson and Florida. And we're actually going to try and get, you know, a lot, as many close by chapters as we can to get their associate members to do it so that they have an ABEX event, you know, a big ABEX event. But, you know, I want to make it into a regional event where we get, you know, our chapters together to do it. But we've got the 15K, we've got the 5K, and then with Brooks, there's a 1 mile fun run walk. So the Jacksonville area has over 1,000 PICAP alumni. And so we haven't even begun to tap our alumni base. But, you know, there are alums, if you're my age, you know, we had, you know, Push, you used to do toll roads for Push, right? So once or twice a year, you'd go out with your buckets and you'd, you know, you'd grab the sorority girls and you'd go out there and you'd, you know, you'd do the toll road and raise a little money for Push and you'd send it in. And that was really all we did. So, you know, my fraternity brothers have built this great organization, you know, since I was in school, you know, it's grown into something we couldn't imagine. And so there's any of the guys that are my age or older, like they just don't know. They've never had the ability experience, right? They don't know what we have, or they may just kind of at a very surface level, kind of halfway know, like, oh yeah, we do some bike rides and stuff, but they don't understand what it's about. And so that's my goal, is to get, you know, to bring brothers who otherwise wouldn't be involved back into it, and you know, and enrich their lives, give them the opportunity to experience some of the stuff that I have. You know, how great would it be, you know, if we get a bunch of alums together and we have, you know, a bunch of associate members coming in, you know, this is kind of the future of fraternity in my estimation, that, you know, fraternities have to change if they're going to survive. And, you know, I mean, I don't, it's become, you know, challenging to stay on campuses and stuff like that. And so, you know, I see what we do is really being kind of a prototype for other, you know, for other fraternities to copy. You know, it just offers so much, and I can't imagine a better way to get, you know, older generations and younger generations together, you know, to learn from each other, to grow, and just the leadership experience that, you know, it provides, and the leaders that we'll build with it.
Yeah, and I think in our bio for this podcast, we should be able to put a link towards that. So if anyone's interested in that or wants to learn more information, we'll be sure to include that link in the bio for this episode. So,
yeah, that'll be fantastic.
And I see that you have your son getting into the whole realm of the running and the events as well. So you have your own legacy going.
Yeah, so he's done it 3 times. This year he got tired of running with the slow old guys and took off by himself.
What distance?
He did the 15K. He's done the 15K the last 2 years. He did the 5K the first year. But he's been doing the 15K, and he fundraises. And, you know, so, you know, I don't know if he'll want to be a PICAP when he grows up or not. You know, he's got to figure life out for himself, right? And he may choose not to follow his old man, but you know, he's at least getting the experience. So hopefully he'll take that with him. You know, if he does something different, he's at least learned a little bit from it.
Yeah. Well, I think those stories are awesome, and I'm so glad we were able to get you onto the podcast. And
yeah, I really
can't wait to share
it,
this episode and see the impact this is going to have on everyone.
Yeah, Rob, thank you so much for taking the time to share stories with us. And I was kind of along the way, I was thinking about asking, like I typically do, you know, if someone's listening to the podcast right now, and they're considering signing up for an event, like, what would you tell them? But I think the last 40 minutes of what we just talked about speaks for itself. But
I don't, you know, I don't know of anybody that's ever regretted it. And, you know, this year, we had Dylan Kraft was on, he was a cyclist on Guff, and they were looking for a crew chief for Journey of Hope. And, so I, you know, I talked to him, and I told him pretty much exactly what I told you guys. And, so then I was at Arrival in August, right? So I'm in DC and I'm, you know, Dylan's one of the guys I wanted to see show up. And, you know, he comes walking up the lawn and, you know, we just kind of like, you know, saw each other and, you know, just looked each other in the face and like both immediately started tearing up. Yeah. And so I, you know, like I knew immediately I hadn't oversold it. Right. So.
No, it's amazing. Like I said, I think you've put into words things that it's been hard for me to put into words, even being on staff for 5 years, on a build experience staff, you know, on national staff for, you know, seven, but, yeah, it's, I don't know. I'm kind of speechless. It's been a while since we've had one of these episodes as well, Zorth. So, this was, couldn't think of a better way to get back into things.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm glad you guys are telling these stories. You know, it really has just been incredible. I've enjoyed the podcasts, and you know, I mean, it's an honor to be included in the group. You know, it's just kind of crazy. So many guys that, you know, I just admire and have so much respect for. So, really appreciate you guys doing it. I think it's a great thing, you know, and hopefully over the years, you know, I mean, it's I think increasingly difficult. Like I said, you know, fraternities are having a hard time on campus, but you know, also doing an event like this, I mean, it's amazing to me that we pull this off every year, and then you know, with COVID, you know, like we lost South Route and Build America, you know, due to COVID. And so there's just a bunch of guys that, you know, we have fewer opportunities right now, and it's going to take, you know, it took a lot of time and effort to build it up to what it was. It's going to take a lot of time and effort to build it back. So, you know, but I mean, I want other guys to be able to experience what I've experienced.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think it's important to tell these stories. I think it's important to convey the value of it. And, you know, I think you guys are doing great work.
Well, I appreciate that. It's a fun way to just have a small way to stay involved. And I do want to give Diego a shout out and the ABEX staff just for kind of helping us revive this and have it a priority and just help us with a lot of the legwork that goes on behind the scenes to just be able to sit here and have these fun conversations and tell these stories. So thank you to the staff.
And Rob,
go ahead. I was going to say, I've done six rides and hopefully that's just a start. You know, I'm going to do Guff again next year. I'm sure I'll be coaching. I'll hopefully always be able to ride from, you know, Jacksonville to Tallahassee. I mean, for however long, but you know, I don't plan on stopping at all. And, you know, I've got this long established tradition of shooting my mouth off and saying I'm going to do stuff and telling everybody about it, so I can't back out, which is how I did JOH at 50. Anyway, so last time I was at Arrival, I was talking to Basil and I said, you know, so you got to sign me up for 2029 North Route. I did Trans Am again, I did it twice, right? But I haven't done North, so I want to do North, and 2029 I'll be 60. So Basil's supposed to put me up on the website as the first team member for 2029, but you know, I'm going to keep obviously not everything's under my control, but the part that's under my control I will take care of and be ready to do it in 2029. And I'm really, you know, I'm just looking forward to doing it again, you know, with a new group of guys. You know, what is that, 6 years away, right? So some of the guys that are doing that are in junior high, or they'll be doing it with me, or in junior high or something right now. Which that's, you know, been one of the surreal things doing this for so long is, you know, you show up and you're their parents' age now, or I'm their parents' age now. So, you know, it's pretty crazy. And it's, like I said, a magical thing that old guys can show up and fit in, you know, and still be relevant, still bring something to the team. So, people see me and they go, "Are you still cycling?" And I go, "I'm still above ground, right?" So, so that's the plan, is to keep doing it as long as I can.
Well, I look forward to you sharing this podcast episode at orientation in 2029 with all these
kids that were
in middle school right now.
definitely, yep.
And they're going to be thrilled to have you as a teammate. So that's going to be phenomenal. Well, Rob, thanks for joining us for the podcast. We hope to be able to kick off more episodes with the support of Abex and Diego. And yeah, thanks for bringing it back for us.
All right. Well, thank you guys. I really appreciate it.